think it's probably more relevant and appropriate, other than this committee, this task force saying they did not address it, considered those databases of importance. And I just didn't want to lose that because there had been people who from time to time email us and tell us that we're not quite bright enough to figure out there are other WHOIS databases out there. And we were bright enough to figure that out, but we didn't take on the effort of addressing them, thinking that we were not the best suited to spend a fair, a huge amount of time on that.
Marilyn, could you back up? So I'm sorry, I'm late.
No, that's okay. I was just saying to Steve, and we'll do a roll call after this, that it's important for us to note and to say that we did not, other than noting that there are other WHOIS databases out there that are operated by the registries,
mm-hmm.
numbering registries, we did not address the accuracy of the data in those databases, other than to say that those databases were also important, but we did not address them in the survey, nor did we spend any significant time on them. And I was just noting that we should include in our discussion today briefly to what extent the Security Committee did address those databases so that we can properly distinguish in the feedback and incorporation of your comments.
You know what, Marilyn? Originally, this document was titled WHOIS for GTLD. And you know what? I believe the GTLD part got dropped off the title in one of the editing attempts.
Well, because when I read it, I didn't see that you had done a lot of, I didn't see the work I was looking for, but I just didn't know what you had done about addressing it, and it sounds like you focused as well.
Yeah, it was, in fact, it was supposed to be specifically titled, and
that would be good to recapture.
Well, let me ask the embarrassing question, which is should have been asked internally. So, Rick, why wouldn't this apply equally to CCTLDs?
There's a couple of things that the committee, when we had discussions about it, that didn't want to see it as broad-based as that, because the CCTLDs have some other privacy policies that they were working on.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't feel that it was appropriate for it to apply across CCTLDs and the address registries.
So let me sort of jump in here.
Wait. Before you do that, let me convene the call.
Okay, sorry.
Sorry. Yeah. I was going to do this quickly, but obviously it's actually a topic of discussion. Tony's on, my co-chair. Let me ask anyone who hasn't identified themselves to do so.
Good morning, Marilyn. It's Ken Stubbs.
Hi, Ken. We have Rick Wesson. We have Steve Crocker. We have Steve Metallitz. We have Tony. Thomas is going to be a little bit late. Christy's not on yet? No. Okay. And what about Rob? Didn't hear him. Okay. And we don't have Ruchika, although she has said she can make this. And we don't have Abel. Or Hakakor. I think we should go ahead, and in the meantime, I will send an email to Rom and Ruchika and Christy and Hakakor and Abel and sort of ask where they are. We also are missing Becky Burr, who had said she could be on this call as well, so I'll add her to that, who's filling in for the second person on the registry.
Who's Becky work for now?
Becky is supporting Coleman, who we had a representative of the registry constituency in addition to Rom, who moved on. That was Karen, and Fran Coleman picked up, but it turns out, doesn't actually have the time to do the work, and so Becky was designated to fill in and do the actual work on his behalf as we wind up, because I think...
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. The purpose of the first part of this call is so that we can hear from those of you who were working on the Security Advisory Committee and then ask questions, and so I'm going to turn this over to Steve and to Rick, and we can come back to this particular question, because a part of our recommendations also addressed the CCTLDs, and we can tell you what we have done there, which is a bit later, which is sort of to say, work in progress, we need to work more with the CCTLDs and figure out how to move that ball forward with them. So that's sort of in our substantially yet-to-do category and will appear in an issues report. Steve, could maybe you or Rick could quickly explain both what the Security Advisory Committee's overall role is and then what you put together in this particular endeavor, and then we could just go into discussing your report.
Good. Well, first of all, let me thank you, Marilyn, for the invitation to participate here. This is exactly the kind of cross-group coordination that makes things work. And so I was very pleased that you issued the invitation. Our focus is security and stability, as our name says, and we're not trying to get into more things than we need to get into. One of the things that we considered when this issue came up was, is this something that we need to take up, or is it well covered, and is it outside of our scope? The thing that prompted us to get into the issue at all is the operational question of what happens when you need to track down the operator of a domain because something is awry. This is not so much to go after users who are errant within that domain or copyright violators or whatever, but suppose there is something just simply broken in the operation of a domain and there needs to be a contact information. So sort of hardcore operational issues of the kind that groups like NANOG and others would be most concerned with, as opposed to record company tracking down violators or something like that. And the after some discussion, the a very simple picture emerged, which is this: it is highly desirable to have good contact information, just as a matter of sort of keeping the machinery running. And it is also clear that the information in the Whois databases tends to become stale over a period of time. And worse than that, there is resistance to having good information in a number of cases because that information is often misused for violating privacy or for creating spam lists or whatever. So we found ourselves coming down on the side of saying there needs to be good information, and we also recognize that there is a side effect to having accurate information, which motivates people not to to put the right kind of information in those databases or to maintain it up to date. And that's the essential crux of what we were struggling with. And everything follows directly from that. I don't think there's anything more complicated involved. Rick, would you like to correct whatever I've just said that's completely wrong or add to that?
Steve, I think you did an excellent job of highlighting what we tried to do in the committee.
And so can I, and just to clarify, someone else just joined us.
Hi, Marilyn, this is Ritika.
Hi, Ritika. Anyone else who hasn't identified themselves? But again, just to restate, we do have an MP3 recording, and Glenn, I think, is taking minutes. The focus of your report is specifically on, even though the principles apply elsewhere, the focus of your advice is specifically on the generic, the GTLD Whois.
That's where we started, Marilyn.
Okay.
I'm not sure what happened with the title. I remember having GTLD somewhere in there, but it may not have made it through the whole editing process. But a lot of our discussion was around GTLDs, is that where a lot of the discussion and the participants that we have noticed that there were issues. That's where the trivial inspections of people seem to come up with examples in the generic TLDs of more blatant inaccuracies. And that's where a lot of the discussion started. The CCTLDs were never really discussed as a real issue on inaccuracy of information. They seem to have different kind of standards than the generics.
Just real quickly, I will tell
Marilyn,
you.
This is Ram Mohan joining in.
Great, Ram.
Hey there.
Just real quickly, I will tell you, we didn't get to do an exhaustive outreach. We did talk to three or four, and the CCs that we spoke to, at least two of them had checked for accuracy of data at the time of registration. So, you know, we were finding different approaches to these for a variety of reasons. But so the committee, can you tell us a little bit about the committee began its work?
Another point, Marilyn, is that it seemed like the generics were just much more applicable to the kind of input that we have into the process. It wasn't clear as to how the Security and Advisory Committee could try and cajole the non-contracted parties to, you know, implement any kinds of the recommendations. So it kind of made more sense.
Okay. You made a statement earlier that I would like to ask a question about, but I don't want to break up your dialogue. Maybe I could just ask the question. You said that you sort of began with some assumption of the people who were working in the smaller working group that assume that there are some motivations that encourage people to put in erroneous information. And I think you made reference to the fact that then, of course, data ages and becomes outdated and is in error because of that, and there's no motivation to go in and change it. Did I kind of capture?
Right. I think I spoke quickly and blurred those two things together, but I think there are two separate effects. One is the aging factor, which exactly, and that would be a problem under all circumstances. And then there is this resistance, the perceived abuse or use of the data for other purposes, which leads people to avoid putting accurate information in the first place, or to avoid updating it with accurate information and sort of not wanting it to be correct because they don't see the value to them and they do see a threat. So there are two interrelated issues there, but they both tend in the same direction, which is that the data isn't accurate when it's needed.
We identified at least a third and maybe a fourth that I'd like to share with you.
Good.
That is the category of people who purposely put in erroneous data, not because they're concerned about privacy, but because they intend to perpetrate fraud.
Oh.
And there are people like that. You're shocked, I know.
Shocked, yes, shocked.
purposely do this. And you know, perhaps we think that they don't want to be contacted, but they're not want. It isn't a question of spam in their case. It's a question of not wanting law enforcement to be able to find them, or a legitimate trademark holder not to be able to find them, some other reason like that.
Marilyn, I agree that those are two valid subsets of people that don't want to input accurate information, and I think what we saw was that there was a set of people that don't want to input accurate information,
uh-huh.
So whether it was for nefarious acts or not, and I think we tried to stay away from the legal issues and stick mostly towards the technical side of things. So if we just had a set of people that don't want to input their information accurately, that's where we were speaking to. It certainly contains those those subsets which we did not enumerate.
Let me just say, we can come back to this in further discussion. I think my own personal assumption would be that you can address, that if, since this task force wants to go to what some of the solutions are, and what we're talking with you guys about is what are the risks associated with lack of accurate contact information. For our purposes, we probably need to divide it because it may take different behavior to deal with each of the subcategories.
So, Marilyn, does that mean that you have some disagreements with our recommendations?
Why don't we talk about your recommendations?
Sure. Which ones do you think?
Let's start at the top, I think. Has anyone else joined us? And let me just see if I'm right about this for purposes of the rest of the task force.
Sure.
Overlap between the working group and the task force is ROM. Is that right?
No, Bruce Duncan also.
Bruce is not a member of the task force?
Bruce is a member of the task force, I believe.
No,
Bruce is a member of the implementation committee, not the task force.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I just wanted to be sure. I was thinking that we had at least one member, and I just wanted to be sure that everyone knew that. Okay. So you start out with an executive summary, and then you go into talking about accuracy, and maybe you could just kind of take us through a little bit about recommendation and the task force can respond.
Well, I take it that you've all read the document, and I'd rather just hear either objections or critiques, criteria that you have that don't fall in line with what you believe reality to be. I don't see the point really of going over reading a short document.
I'll address a couple issues in the recommendations when the time comes, if that's how, the approach you decide you want to take.
This is Steve Metallitz, if I can get in the queue. Also.
Okay, well, why don't we do this? We'll start a queue and do it the other way around. Steve, you want to kick it off, and then we'll follow with Ken. Ken, is that okay with you?
Oh, sure. No problem.
Marilyn, it's Brett Foss. I just wanted to announce that I joined about 10 or 15 minutes ago, and unfortunately, I'm only going to be able to stay on for another five.
Brett,
I would propose that if Brett has any issues, we
sure.
Take him up front then.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Okay. So we'll do Steve and then Ken, and then Brett, thanks for joining, and we'll keep going.
Okay, thank you. This is Steve Metallitz. First, I just wanted to say I thought this was an excellent report, and one of its virtues is that it's very brief, and you can it lays things out very succinctly, which I think is really a virtue in this area. There are a couple of places where you talk about new mechanisms being put into place. For example, you recommend that Whois data validated at the time of a registrant's initial registration and on a regular basis thereafter. And you also talk about the need to develop methods to discourage the harvesting or mining of Whois information. Did you have any discussion about what those methods might be, either for validation or for preventing mining, or how would those methods be developed in your view?
Rick, you want to take a shot at that, or I
sure.
can answer?
We have a number of Whois operators, although they happen to be CCTLDs or GTLDs, on the Security and Stability Committee, and they have discussed several ways of trying to mitigate mining. And there are techniques to do it. I didn't feel like we needed to go into the laundry list of here's operational techniques to try and mitigate.
Well, why don't we give just a hint so that everybody has a picture of what we're talking about. I don't think there's anything deep and mysterious here.
No. For instance, one CCTLD operator will only allow a certain number of queries from a single IP address. And you cannot make more than that per day. And the number is very, very low, actually. And so I mean, there's additional techniques, there's additional heuristics that can be used on the Whois serving side to try and reduce the number of miners that are out there. And there's you know, it's like an arms race. You figure out ways to mitigate it, and other people figure out ways to get around it, and it kind of always progresses on in that manner.
But the fundamental underpinnings is to establish the idea, the ethic, that mining is not encouraged and that active steps are being taken to discourage it. And then it's a question of the balancing the intended functional utility against these controls that are put in place. If it were possible to put complete controls in place, then that would be the recommendation. So that's the on the side of discouraging the mining. Then on the side of how do you encourage or what steps do you take to promote the accuracy and the validity of it, the basic idea, in, you know, stripped down to common sense, is it's part of the ongoing business relationship, and regular communication is needed or else the service basically stops. So an ISP would be in contact with a with somebody, and that information would have to be accurate, or that would be grounds for disrupting the service.
Excellent. Thank you, Steve.
Steve, I noted a couple of questions that I want to go on from what you asked, but do you have anything else you want to ask before we go to Ken?
Are you talking to me?
Uh-huh.
No, well, I'll be glad to let it go on. I mean, I would like to get back at some point to this question of CCTLDs and,
right.
and
yeah.
Whether there's anything in this report that isn't applicable to CCTLDs. But let's go ahead.
Ken?
Yeah, I've got a couple of. I'm going to request some clarification, then I'm going to make some somewhat broad comments on some of the issues. First of all, Steve Crocker and Rick. Steve Metallitz implied that, or commented that the recommendation specifically recommended that there be a validation at the point of registration. I don't see that there. I do see that you say that this process has to be improved, but I don't see a specific recommendation here that there has to be a validation at the time of recommendation. Could you comment on that very quickly, and let me come back with some follow-ups on some of the other recommendations. Am I reading it wrong or what?
I'm going to let you handle this, Rick.
Okay. Ken, I think that, you know, as I sit here and reread the recommendations, I don't see anything that does say that these things have to be...
Rick, can I just point out what I was referring to in the...
Sure.
In the second paragraph of the executive summary, it says, it is essential that WHOIS data used to provide contact information for the party responsible for an Internet resource is validated at the time of a registrant's initial registration and on a regular basis thereafter.
Yes.
Okay,
so that's
yeah, I guess where I got my information, Steve, I went right to the recommendations, and you're up at the executive summary.
And I think that is essential. But when it comes time to make the recommendations, the things that are going to be addressed in an implementation plan and the things that are going to be reviewed for how they got implemented, we felt that it was too strong of a of something to make it a requirement, and there wasn't enough research done on how it can be done on a global basis. Right, it's the same kinds of things that we've heard before. I'd be interested in hearing the committee's stand on some of the other recommendations,
yeah.
such as about providing mechanisms to protect privacy of registrants, or the last verified date, which has been an interesting discussion in the IETF, or about ICANN maintaining public lists of availability of WHOIS services. There is an excellent internet draft that has just recently come out titled Using DNS SRV Records to Locate WHOIS Services, which is draft WHOIS SRV-07.txt, which is an awesome example of how to use SRV records to solve some of the issues that we have with WHOIS.
That's why I was going to try to get down to some of those other issues, just to bullet them based on my impressions of what we talked about in the WHOIS task force, and we could probably go right down the line here. As I understand, the concept of a last verified date makes a lot of sense to me. The only problem is that there has to be a clearly uniform and ascertainable, understandable verification technique so that people understand what verified really means, number one, you know. And I think there you run into making sure that that ties into standard formats and uniformity to the registries, if that's the case, because the verification process for one type of registry could be, if it's not uniform, could mean something entirely different. And I think also stratification. I mean, I used as an example in the last week Microsoft's own whois for Microsoft.com. And yep. The comments I got is, everybody knows. Well, I'm sorry, that's not the way it works, you know.
Right, Ken. You know, I think you're absolutely right. And it wasn't really the purview of the committee to decide what those were.
Right.
But to identify something for the community to then take and work on.
I agree with you there. And I think that's where you guys have gone. You've gone a long way. And hopefully the next step that we could take is to try to take the practical side that ties into architecture and code development and so forth, and make it meaningful for those people who use the whois on a regular basis, you know. So I think I'm going to step back right now. I've got some other concerns, but I think it's only fair that there may be some other people who want to comment.
I want to make a comment, see if anyone else does first. I just want to re-verify, and I'm going to respond, Rick, to something that you said, but I just want to re-verify that from the purpose of SCORE Advisory Committee, your primary focus, and that's what I just is the impact of inaccurate contact information on security. You were primarily, I think, assuming that the users of accurate whois data then would be the network operators or the ISPs or the transport providers?
Yes, ma'am. I believe that's an accurate statement.
Okay. I think that's important for this task force to understand because be very clear on, because our focus is much broader than that. It is inclusive of that.
Yes, and another large area of our focus is actually stability, the
right.
Configuration of these resources.
Right.
And this, the whois is, you know, documentation of the configuration, which is actually very important to what we consider our task is.
Right. Let me say something about recommendations when I looked at them. I'm just looking at recommendation under accuracy chart. I think, and the task force should comment on this, but this is, I think, the thing that we are struggling with is we've made a recommendation that says accuracy of whois data must be improved. We have been trying to address the what an effective and affordable and sound validation process might be, and I believe that is a topic of discussion in the implementation committee. The task force has recommended that in our recommendations that once whois records are known to be false or inaccurate, that there should be a process to hold them until they are updated or removed. So I think while your language is maybe a little tighter than our premise, I believe this is very consistent. I read this as being very consistent with the recommendation of the accuracy group, Steve.
Yep.
Well, that's good, isn't it?
Oh, yes. No, we thought that was... The second bullet point here, a standard format for whois data must be developed, that I think is also consistent with the recommendation, which will appear in an issues report. It's not far enough along to be an actual policy recommendation. The third item about by date is an excellent addition. I believe that I would have expected this level of detail probably be reported in the implementation committee, so we'll need to come back and take a look at that.
That was actually a suggestion at a security workshop
mm-hmm.
that I was having a discussion with several of the folks at, and one of the ISG members, or one of the members of the ISG that sits on our committee was remarking on how old some of the records were.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that it was a reasonable way to try and let people understand accuracy and how things had been verified.
Can I ask a question here that relates to who is across non-TLDs per se? Because I'm somewhat confused. First of all, is it possible? And really, I'm admitting my complete ignorance. Is it possible to get a WHOIS query on an IP address?
Yes, sir, it is.
All right. Do they use a standard format for WHOIS across all of the regional internet registries, Aaron and Ripe and so forth?
Yes, sir.
If the CCTLDs, which use IP addresses, that are provided by regional internet that utilize the RIR format, why wouldn't the CCTLDs subscribe to a standard WHOIS format for data with the option of opting out for items in a WHOIS format that they feel may violate privacy?
The routing registries, number registries, didn't always provide the same format. Some did, some didn't. And it took probably 10 years to get them aligned.
That we have an existing model for uniformity and for a migration.
Well, no, I think we just recently have unified. Aaron was the one registry that held out for a really long time, and they have recently changed their formats. And now you can say all of the RIRs do. And so... If we take that it took them 10 years and there were only 3 participants, I don't know how long it's going to take for the 208 CCTLDs and 150 ICANN accredited registrars to all find the same format. I believe that there is a working group in the IETF called CRISP that is working on a unified mechanism that would provide essentially the same end result as having the same format as everyone's who is.
Thanks for educating.
Yeah, can I say a word about that as well? We had a briefing on CRISP from a couple of folks. Some of you might remember who they were. And there will be a recommendation in the issues report on consistency and stability that point to the need for participation in CRISP and other IETF groups, thinking that as standards emerge, that it would be better to point toward the adoption of the standards.
Agreed, Marilyn.
That's kind of where we stood on that, and also feeling, Rick and Steve and others, that it was pretty impractical to expect anybody, whether they were GTLD registrars or registries or CCTLDs, to invest a lot of money if there's going to be a standard coming that they then would want to implement, which would give them broader benefits. So the issue, that's kind of the thing we saw the need for, was to try to accelerate standard development and also adoption.
Well, I think you raise a very important point, and one of the things that I am realizing in the course of this conversation that we could have and I believe should have been clearer about is the following. We did not want to try to go so far as to say, here's our recommendation and here's this precise implementation plan, do it our way. There are two strong reasons for not doing that. One is it would have bankrupted us in terms of the amount of effort required, and we considered that level of detail belongs squarely in the hands of the ITF processes for protocol design and in the hands of the operators for expressing the rest of the concerns that they would have in bringing their the full range of their requirements and preferences into it. So we wanted to stay at the level of here's the effects that we're trying to accomplish, not here's the mechanisms that we proposed in particular. But I think that we weren't clear enough in saying that's what we were saying. And further, I think that it would be helpful for somebody, and we might as well start by saying, and having said this, here's the rest of the steps that are necessary, not that we intend to carry them out, but that they're part of the agenda for the community, and then we invite others to speak to that. Or we could say that in concert with your group or others.
I'm going to make 2 points and come back to that and ask them to comment on this. Rick, could I ask you or Steve, I numbered your recommendations. When recommendation 5, a publicly available list of publicly available WHOIS service must be available, blah, blah, blah. Could you describe for the task force what you think that, how you think that could solve a problem and remembering our concerns are broader, how do you see this as addressing an unmet need?
I'm sorry, Marilyn. The phone was a little fuzzy there for a second.
The publicly available list of WHOIS servers, how do you, what need do you see that addressing and how do you see it addressing it?
Right now there is no list of these resources out on the Internet. We've identified the resources as critical and as the IANA function of the separate body of ICANN maintains these kinds of lists. And so there's really two recommendations that are that should be side by side but are not. And one is that ICANN should maintain this list of publicly available WHOIS servers. And then there's another way, or there's a way that ICANN to do it, is by using these DNS SRV records, which I was just speaking to about an Internet draft that explains a very precise way of doing that. So it's about locating WHOIS information that we see as very important, and there's a mechanism that's been proposed to do that.
How do you see this... how do you see this as addressing, or do you see it addressing, the complaints that we heard from WHOIS users that right now they have to go to multiple registrar WHOISes to search?
It wasn't addressing that particular problem, or it wasn't to address that.
Okay.
The impetus came from a different direction in that there's a long belief about resources and resource location.
Uh-huh.
In the ITF. That's it's an area of discussion generally about protocols. And one of the things that we realized was that there wasn't a resource location mechanism for WHOIS.
Okay.
And so this was meant to address how do you find these resources?
Great.
And it was a recommendation that since ICANN contracts with all of these parties that has to manage these things, we actually saw it as kind of either an oversight or just something silly that's happened over the years that the resources were never documented. And we made a recommendation that they can be actually documented within the DNS and use the DNS as a location mechanism.
Okay, I need to ask a question which before I go on to my next 2 points, but let me see if anyone else... let me ask this question and then open this back. Rick, you know that there are third-party services that are emerging that offer unified searching, and some of them have arrangements with 20 ccTLDs and most of the gTLDs, and some have more ccTLDs than that. And these are third-party services. They may be offered by a registrar as an augmentation to their registration service, or they may be offered by purely by a third party.
Am I familiar with them?
Well, my question to you was, some of those third parties would not have a contracted relationship with ICANN, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So I just wanted to add in the idea, if this recommendation moves forward, add the idea of how to include those third parties.
Let me jump in. My quick reaction to that is that the primary relationship is with the people who create the information, which is the registrars, and then if they have a relationship with third-party search people, well, that's fine. That falls within their business relationships, and maybe there are technical means that are useful to facilitate it, but it doesn't it doesn't really change the basic picture that we're talking about.
Okay.
And let me grab the floor, continue to hold the floor for a second, and say just another word about the picture that Rick was painting. When one contacts a host, there are certain well-known ports for web service, AD and POP service, and SMTP and so forth. And in a way, the point that's being made here is that with respect to a domain, asking for that domain where it's corresponding, who is database, is could be, in a slightly different world, could be just another port number associated with a domain. Well, we don't have port numbers associated with domains, so that mechanism doesn't exist. But if it did, then somebody would have assigned a who is port, so to speak, and there would be no issue about finding the who is that corresponds to a domain. Does that get at the point that you're making, Rick?
Exactly.
So in a way, the idea of identifying or locating the who is that corresponds to a domain is just the mechanical assignment of, given a domain name, how do you find its corresponding who is, assuming that it exists, and regularizing that, and treating that as a purely mechanical matter, not as a political or business issue. It's just setting up a standard nomenclature.
Okay. I have a question about the next point that I think many of us will want to discuss. Is there anyone who has joined the call who hasn't announced themselves?
Good morning. This is Christy McKee.
Hi, Christy.
Hello.
I'm going to take the last point first and then move to the point before it. The last recommendation, sorry guys, says a WHOIS service must discourage the harvesting and mining of its data. I believe that is fully consistent with the intent of the task force's recommendations about bulk access and further discussions that have taken place in the task force, where we have talked about things like the data should not be used for purposes other than that for which it was gathered. There's discussion going on in the implementation committee about the fact that we did not fully address misuse of port 43, which we have agreed needs to be addressed, but our goal was to move forward with what we could get a consensus around, since our task force has to deliver consensus. In order to change policy, we must deliver consensus. And we did start with the low-hanging fruit, but I'll ask others to comment. My belief is that your last point is fully consistent with the recommendations and interest and perspectives of this task force.
Hi, this is Steve Metalitz. I would agree with that, and I think what I was trying to get at in my earlier question was, in the response to it, it sounds as though there are some mechanisms already available to try to do this. It's an ongoing process, but I'm pleased to know there are some ways to deal with this, even in Port 43.
Right. Now I want to go to the point above it, and then I want to say something about your implementation plan from a question standpoint. The point above it says, WHOIS services must provide mechanisms to protect the privacy of the registrants. And the task force will be issuing a issues report, which will attempt to gather some of the questions about privacy concerns. But the task force is... at this point, while individuals hold particular perspectives and views, task force has not adequately studied what privacy problems, if any, exist. And I say that very carefully because some people in the task force believe that there are privacy problems with WHOIS. Others take the point of view that needs to be better understood,
Marilyn, would you like me to give you a little insight into where that came from?
I think the whole task force would.
Okay. There is a number of participants in an IETF working group called PROVREG that also sit on the security committee. And within the PROVREG working group, we've submitted the documents to the ISG, and a number of comments that have come back is that there has to be privacy protection mechanisms within the protocol for us to get the ISG to give us an RFC number for this protocol. And so this discussion about privacy enhancements in the protocol do no good unless there are privacy protections on the output of the data. And so since there had been a significant discussion within the IETF and ISG on these issues, we thought that it was relevant to bring them back to this document.
Can I ask, I'm somewhat familiar with the discussions related to privacy that are going on in the technical groups, Rick, because I am the policy advisor to my technical team on much of their work, including ENUM and other things.
Okay.
And my question remains, is it your view? I'm not saying the question should not have come back. I'm just trying to get a better understanding from our standpoint as the task force. Has there actually been analysis of the privacy problems which exist in WHOIS, or is that...
There is ongoing research,
okay,
as we speak, funded research for analyzing this topic in several European countries. That's all that I can say right now.
Well, I think it's, in fairness, we have to acknowledge that there is this Federal Trade Commission study that can be read as suggesting that this is not a serious problem. And that leads to some controversy because a number of people believe that there's plenty of data that suggests it is a problem. And so we find ourselves, I suppose, collectively spread out across a spectrum where, as Rick has described, inside of the ISG, there's not only no controversy, there's a dictum that says you either solve the problem or we won't let you move forward because you're breaking conclusion that we've come to, you're running afoul of a policy that was already settled on the one end of the spectrum. And then on the other, I think, Marilyn, you're saying this is far from settled. There are people who say it's not an issue, and so it makes it very awkward to adopt a tough policy when there's a portion of the community that's hanging out on the other end.
I'm actually saying something even more complicated than that. The FTC study, if you're referring to the study I think you're referring to, it is a study about spam. Am I right about that?
Is a study what?
About spam.
About spam, right.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure that's what...
Yes, that's the spam. Right. Yep, that's exactly right.
My previous comments weren't necessarily about... unsolicited commercial email or that kind of abuse.
Right.
I put that in the abuse camp.
Yeah. I just wanted to be very clear that from my perspective, and again, in this case, I'm wearing a different hat. I am responsible for advising a multinational corporation on privacy. And we would take a pretty complicated definition of privacy and slice it up. So misuse through unsolicited communications would be one area. There might be other questions about privacy that I would suggest need to be further understood before we made including the question of whether an individual who is an employee of a corporation or an institution or organization whose contact data is provided as a part of their job has the right to anonymity.
This is Steve Michalis. Can I get Nick here?
You can. I wanted to have a discussion involving all the task force. I was just trying to understand. Yes, Steve, you're in the queue, but I think somebody was trying to respond to me first.
This is Ken. Put me in the queue after Steve, please.
Okay.
If I may just interrupt you, just hello, Thomas has joined.
Hi,
sorry for the delay.
Time. Okay. Let me just do the queue real quick. We have Steve, we have Ken. Thomas, were you asking to be in the queue?
No, I was just announcing myself.
Okay, and Steve Crocker only has 5 more minutes.
Yes, thank you very much. I was feeling obliged to interrupt on that. I do actually have to run very promptly.
So we're going to do the queue if that's okay, and then come back to asking Steve if he's still here and Rick to respond.
Yeah, this is Steve Metallitz. I'd just like to get a little more detail on what Rick and Steve were referring to in terms of the IETF and whether this dictate, I think was the word that was used, is that written down anywhere? I'd like to just find out more about that, because when I look at the URLs that you give in the report, I'm not sure where the privacy issue comes in, so I wonder if you can direct me to where it has been said within the IETF that you must address this and what exactly you must address.
I will be happy to forward a number of URLs with the dictums in them.
Great. Thank you.
And you'll do it to the task force, right?
Certainly.
Great.
I think that's entirely fair, and dictate's a little strong. Dictum,
okay.
Perhaps.
All right, but I'll look forward to getting it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And Ken, you in queue?
Yeah, I've got 2 questions to ask. Fast. One question, one statement. The first question is: are there privacy initiatives that have been instituted with respect to registries for IP addresses, and if so, are they universally subscribed to by the various regional registries? That's the first question. And the second is a comment. This will give you a chance to respond. I'm a little concerned about the methodologies and the fact that you make references to the fact that you have members on your task force who are in CCTLDs that are currently utilizing systems. I am hoping that the CCTLDs that they are involved with have adequate volume to justify even mentioning the fact that they limit the port accesses to 3 a day. You know, if you're talking about DENIC or .UK or something like this, it's a meaningful thing. If you're talking about a smaller CCTLD, it's not very meaningful. Thank you.
Okay, Ken, I was speaking, I never said 3, and the information that we have it comes from anecdotal references of people's individual experiences. I think that particular anecdote is still a reasonable way to understand how some CCTLDs go through it. Certainly it wasn't .de, but looking at IP addresses and making assumptions about a reasonable number of records that can be queried from particular IP addresses is one mechanism that can be used. And we've seen it used effectively from various ICANN-accredited registrars also.
Yeah, what about privacy, guys? Are there privacy initiatives on the IP registries?
On IP registries, there are a number of, I don't know if you would call them privacy initiatives. They have a different amount of whois, and they have a different kind of information. They don't necessarily have contacts, right? There isn't a record that says, Rick Wesson is a contact here for an address block, and it doesn't give you my phone number, and it doesn't give you my my physical address. So there's a different kind of data that's required in an IP or routing registry.
I'm just looking for a process to help make it work across the whole spectrum, that's all.
Right. Well, the process that they use is going to be different because they have to maintain different kind of data. We have more end-user data. They have institutional data. You know, there's a record that says, I have some IP address space from this network that is above net, and if you want to talk to above net about this, here's the contact information. And, you know, those mailboxes get overflowed with spam, but, you know, telemarketing calls to that end do the telemarketer no good, right? So they have different kind of data. They have different kind of pressures. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Rick, could you guys just spend one more minute with us on, because you said you were assuming that there were your group. I'm using that term broadly. The group who worked on this was assuming that there were broader privacy issues. It wasn't just unsolicited commercial communication. Did you spend any time identifying what the privacy issues are?
Well, Marilyn, there has been, from the ISG's communications to us in Prague Ridge, there has been a lot of debate about what are we trying to do here, and there's been a lot of confusion about it. So there hasn't been a whole lot of clarity about privacy. And I think we need to let Steve part from us.
I'm afraid I do have to run, and I appreciate, again, very much the opportunity to participate. This obviously is the beginning, not an end, of the interaction. Marilyn, do you now know how to reach me in every possible way?
Yep, I do. Let me say something real quick before you go. You made a recommendation in the implementation plan, which actually requires a policy change. It requires consensus policy. I'm assuming you guys recognize that, and that's the reason you're putting your recommendation forward, so that it can be taken into account by this WHO IS task force and any subsequent task forces?
And specifically, you're referring to?
Modifications in the registrar contracts, if they, if there's a contract modification required, there is often a consistent policy requirement.
Marilyn, I don't think that the majority of the group were concerned or understood that particular implication.
I say it to you guys only because I think that, you know, I just make a point on behalf of the task force that we welcome your recommendation so that we can try to take into account your advice, particularly on those areas where it's consistent with the policy recommendations we're able to make now. We will want to incorporate or make reference to your advice in our issues reports so that any further task forces would be able to examine any policy changes and incorporate your recommendations.
Well, a point's taken. I think that's exactly right. And with that, I do, with apologies, have to raise off right now.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks very much, and thank you, Rick.
Bye-bye. Thank you for spending so much time with us. Let me throw this open for you to ask us any questions before we go back to work. If you could spend a few more minutes with us, are there questions you have for us?
Gosh. I don't think so. We've all talked about a number of these issues for a very long time. And I hope that we can find a way to navigate all of these waters to solve some of the problems that we've all been tasked with. So I don't have any real questions for you, but I hope that we can get our work done. And I hope that this helped rather than detracted from anyone's attempts on trying to solve some of these problems.
Anyone else want to comment to Rick?
Well, this is Steve. I'll just reiterate, I think it is quite helpful, and I guess one question I have is, and perhaps I should have asked this when Steve was still on the call, is there a mechanism? What happens with this recommendation? You've delivered this to the board, because since I guess the advisory committee advises the board, is there a mechanism for the board to take comments on it, or just what happens now?
Good question. This is really the first...
hoping you had the answer.
The first recommendation, and I have near a clue on the feedback cycle and what happens. So I guess I will make sure that Steve brings that up with staff.
Can I raise a question, actually? I believe that there's an assumption, I think, that the advisory committee's advice is also to be made available to whatever the relevant task forces are, Steve. it's appropriate that the report go to the board, but my understanding is that the assumption is that whatever, if there are relevant task forces related to work of an advisory committee, that there is an assumption that that task force would try to take into account or address or respond to, which is why we, you know, reached out to try to have this dialogue. But I want to extend the question in a different way, Rick, and you might not know this, but maybe do you foresee further work on the part of the advisory committee on WHOIS itself?
If it was requested of us.
Okay.
But I think that this was one area that we saw that there was work to do. We are working ferociously on other areas of security.
Uh-huh.
And this was something that we've been working on for probably 3 or 4 months. And I think we are focusing all of our attention on other areas.
Okay.
At this time. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. You made in your progress measurement, you made a recommendation. I sort of saw it as a recommendation, but you referenced it as a public report. It's under 4, progress measurement, report on WHOIS accuracy measurements from a statistical survey and complaints received from interdict.net reports.
Yes.
Have you discussed that with the ICANN staff?
No, ma'am. One thing that this committee, I don't believe, like, negotiates stuff.
Right.
We've been requested to, like, look at different issues as directed by Steve and address them to the best of our capability.
Got it. Okay. I just thought, for the purposes of this task force, we've made a number of recommendations about what ICANN staff itself can do.
Mm-hmm.
And that one in particular seemed to me to be something that the task force might be interested in noting, because it's something that the ICANN staff could implement.
Mm-hmm. I think it'd be a good thing.
Well, this is Steve Metellus. I just point out that there's already some expectation that this will be done, at least in the new GTLDs. This is part of the evaluation package that's been approved.
And I do know that there's several university researchers that are tackling this, and I don't know when they're due to come out with reports, but. I know that there's a number of ongoing research projects.
Could you say something more about that? I'm assuming that means that, to the extent you know about it, that means that the registrars are cooperating in providing access to the data?
I haven't been clued that far. I need to go find out more about it. But I know that several people tried to talk to me on different research topics for trying to determine some kind of statistical significance on some of these things.
Before you go, I think I wanted to go back to Steve, a question that you raised, and I know Tony Harris has, in times past, raised the same question, as have others, and that is, without nailing you down on this, the CCTLDs are obviously very different. Some of the very large ones, .de, .uk, .fr, et cetera, those that have more than 1 million records.
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw that .de passed the 6 million mark or the 7 million mark recently. Australia's at 350,000. It's a very disparate, even the and then there's a very large number with 100,000, and a very large number with less than 5,000. From the discussion of your group, did you undertake a discussion about the applicability of this to the CCs, or is that still work to be done?
I'm sure that there was discussion about it. I don't recall what the outcome of that discussion was. But I do remember that there was a consensus that this document was more about GTLDs, and I was surprised to find that that acronym wasn't in the title. Does that answer your question, Marilyn?
Yeah, I think I see only one CCTLD on your on the membership list. And I'm not sure he's there representing the CCTLD. Yop seems to be...
Yop certainly knows quite a bit about CCTLDs.
Yeah.
There's a few others that do also.
Okay. Okay. Anything else from the... I offer thanks on behalf of the task force and say that we may want to come back to you and Steve for further discussion or questions as we try to finalize our recommendations.
Sure. I feel like I've written a thesis and you're my review committee.
A friendly one.
Okay. Yeah.
For your information,
it's gonna be great.
Yeah. For your information, .de as of the close of business December 31 has 6 million domains.
6 million. Thanks. I couldn't remember which one it was.
Of which over 4.5 million of them have full IP access and new server support.
I'm sorry. My phone was going off. As of which what?
Over 4.5 million of them have full IP access and name server support. There, who is also gets quite specific. It's very interesting. It might be a good benchmark for us to measure the GTLDs against the CC on as well.
Hmm. So I don't know how we can be of further assistance, Marilyn, but I'm always happy to lend a hand. So just let us know if there's other areas that you would... You want some feedback on this document. I don't know that we're going to provide a whole lot of attention to it going forward, but I'm sure that we will try and lend a hand where we can.
I might, on behalf of Rahm and Christy, they are writing issues reports on searchability and consistency of data elements, which do rely on future work on standards, and both of them might want to... be able to consult with you personally a bit by email about the... I think, Rahm, you're very well tied into the IETF process. But for Christy, it might be additional verification if she could come back to you on her references to the IETF work that's going on.
Well, you all have my contact details.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate that.
Sure. Not a problem.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you all. Do you want me to stick around, or
we're gonna go on and make work assignments.
We want you to join the group.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you guys later. Thank you.
Bye.
Why do they always leave when we talk about work?
Okay. Let me just make sure I know who else here. Ken, Steve, Rahm, Rachika, Brett. Brett, are you still here? I think we did lose him. Chris
Bodden?
Christy and Thomas, right? We don't have Becky Burr, we don't have Hakakor, we don't have Abel. And we have Tony and me.
We don't have Fran?
Pardon me? And we don't have Fran, nor do we have Becky.
Or Troy, right? Troy's not here?
And nor Troy.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Based on our discussion first of all, let's wrap up on this discussion, except for an assumption made about privacy, which I don't think is any better documented than the work we're trying to do, and the fact that their report is...
Hi, it's Becky. Sorry, I'm late.
Good timing.
Are you at the end?
No, we just... You're perfect timing.
Okay, so I thought this was a two-hour call.
It is.
Oh, okay. I was at the dentist, but here I am.
I was just summing up from the discussion with Rick Wesson and Steve Crocker. The except for the fact that their focus is narrower than ours, and that they have an assumption that they've just taken for granted because of a different business problem of their own. I saw a really significant amount of consistency between this set of recommendations and ours. Everybody feel comfortable with that assumption, with that statement?
Yeah, this is Steve. I do also. I mean, there's a couple of points there that we have questions about, but I think in general they're quite consistent. And in fact, since they didn't really pay much attention to this issue of, you know, whether it's a consensus policy and so forth,
right.
In fact, it really even covers a lot of things that we're only addressing in issue reports and not
right.
in recommendations, but I think it's quite consistent with what we were likely to be saying in those reports.
What I'd like people to do in looking at your issues report is look at the statement in the implementation plan, because if there's a recommendation from this group that something be done, and it takes consensus policy, you should take into account that recommendation in your issue report. The advisory committees of ICANN are, this is actually quite exciting to me that we've gotten to the point of having advice from one of the advisory committees. And feedback. So to the extent you can do that, I think that's important to do, because I think, Steve, your point's well taken. They weren't focused on how to get it done. They were just making a recommendation. The implementation group, and Rom, you're on it, and Ken is on it, and Steve and Tony, this issue of last verified date, has that been a topic of discussion, this general concept of going about how to validate, isn't that a topic of discussion?
The general topic of how to validate is, but I don't think that the last verified date topic has come up, at least not that I can recall.
Not that I can
recall. I don't recall it either.
Okay, but this point, the accuracy of WHOIS data must be improved both at the time of initial registration and at regular intervals, which is in their recommendation. And then it goes on to say, if they're false or inaccurate or have information that cannot be validated, must be frozen or held. That is being discussed in the implementation group. Am I right?
Well, I think the implementation group is looking very narrowly at our recommendations, which don't go to the point of initial registration. That's in an issue report.
Right.
So it's just looking at the time of renewal,
uh-huh.
and it's looking at how you handle this in the context of complaints, challenges, and so forth.
Okay.
So it's narrower.
Okay. Anything, so I think in our overall revision of our present final report, what I would expect to do is to draft a couple of paragraphs which welcome this, make reference to it, make sure we have a link to it, and then make sure that we incorporate whatever the relevant section is into the final recommendation and the appropriate issues reports.
Link to which one? Implementation group or Security Advisory Committee report?
Well, we'll need to link to both, but in this case I was still referencing the Security and Stability Advisory Committee report. So that in the list of linked documents, which we have in our present final report, we would want to add this, Glenn. Right? Thomas?
You're not getting any objections.
Okay, I just, I wanted to be
sure. That, yeah.
Okay.
You're being heard.
Okay. Can we go to where we are on work? I saw that Christy has made some assignments, and I wanted to offer some help from me to any of the groups who feel that they need it. And I wanted to also talk a little bit about, with Ruchika's participation, about the email she sent out. But let me start with, from the groups that are beginning to draft, is there anyone who needs some help on the issues report? I did talk to our chair, to the Names Council chair. If I could sort of categorize this, is Bruce is looking for the issues reports to be short, to have clear headings, to have, if needed, the background sections, which are clearly distinct from the list of issues. If the group has suggestions for how to address the issues, then that should be in a separate section. And that, I think, Christy, is fully consistent with what you're planning to do?
Yeah, three sections in all. And that's wonderful news from Bruce, because I wanted to separate it as much as I possibly could so that we wouldn't turn out another 100-page document.
Right.
We could maybe make it look like a 5-page document with a couple of links in it to some other 10-page documents. That'd be better.
Okay.
Well, on the topic of being available to help with any issue reports, I'm also available, by the way. I don't think I have any particular assignments at this point of time, but I can take some.
Great. Let's walk through this, and then we'll come to where we are, because we are doing 4 issues reports. We have the final report, which needs some modification, and Thomas, I might ask you to help on that, if you would.
Of course.
Then we have the issues report, which I asked Steve to take the lead on trying to pull together, and that is the issues report on the midterm work.
Right.
There's the issue report on consistency of data elements, and that's ROMS, right? And then there's searchability, and that's Christie's. And then there's the slightly different approach to an issues report on privacy, which is going to be an effort to take additional input from the task force members, so pull together the past discussions and identify them and take input from the task force members that Ruchika is trying to lead. Am I right about that? Okay.
I've got one question about that midterm work report. Is that supposed to be cover both block access and accuracy?
Yes.
Technically, wouldn't it be more useful to do separate reports on these topics?
Oh,
how? Two documents. I don't know if you had a discussion on the last call, so maybe I'm just opening up old wounds. I don't want to.
Thomas, I would like for you guys to treat it as a single issue report but with 2 different topics in it, because the midterm recommendation, we have an issue, I believe, in the following way. I believe that consistency of data elements and searchability will be viewed as long-term projects, and that the midterm projects could easily generate a renewed task force, a new task force with some overlap of members, but new members, that would try to turn around that midterm set of recommendations in a short time. And I really think we need to try to keep that work on accuracy and bulk access and marketing uses of data linked together to try to move it along. The one thing I get concerned about is that the Names Council will start breaking things up into very small groups, and then we have the need to put them back together again. We're going to have to do that with the deletions task force recommendation, which is out now, to make sure that there's consistency with what the Who Is task force has recommended on one particular area. I think you're going to find when we have the call on Thursday on implementation that we may have a fair amount to sort through on where the implementation committee's recommendations are against our documents. And I want to minimize there being too many moving parts. That was my reason for keeping them together in one report, but 2 sections. Does that make more sense than how I described it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's all right.
I think the person who actually may be most knowledgeable about the bulk access issues, Thomas, maybe you?
Maybe, yeah.
So maybe we could, in addition to helping on the final report, maybe we could ask you to work with Steve on the midterm report.
Okay.
Now, this is Becky. I'm a little confused because my name is associated with bulk access in one set of minutes.
You're gonna be on that group too.
Okay.
I am very cognizant of the fact that you leapt into the deep end of the ocean last week.
Well, I appreciate it. I was going to say I really probably wasn't the best person to provide insight into the details of this group's discussion, although I certainly can talk about the genesis of it.
Right, and so I was thinking if we could do Steve and Thomas and Becky on the midterm report, but Becky, we're going to need all of you as well on the revisions to the final report to the extent there are any for editing. Okay, let me go to Christy. I'm going to skip you for just a minute. Do I still have Rom on the phone? Tony, you and Rom, we're going to try to get together to see what help Rom needed. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. I haven't heard from him, but I'll mail him today.
Okay. Pachika, can I go to you and ask you to speak a bit about your effort to get people to respond in response to your email? I sent you something, but I don't know if you've heard from anyone else.
No, you're the only one I heard from, but I sent the email out this morning, so it could be that people didn't have a chance to respond. But I'm basically logging all the privacy issues that we can identify or that have been identified in our archives. And based on that, did you say, Marilyn, that I would be leading the privacy report?
Well, I think we need to give you some help with that, Pachika, because you two are new, and I really appreciate you and Becky jumping into this. But I think we need to give you some help with that. But if you could start the logging and help to lead the discussion next week on what you've received so far.
That sounds fine.
Tony and I can sort out. One of us will help you on the drafting, and we'll sort out either one of us or try to enlist somebody else depending on availability of time.
Okay.
Your issue report is going to be, I think, an effort to paint the list of questions, but not conclusions.
That's
and,
right.
Yeah. But out of that, I do think the task force needs to give thought to, for instance, if there are academic studies that are underway on accuracy or on the characteristics of registrants or things of that nature, that would be very helpful to know. Because one of the things we don't have is any real measurement of, and pardon me for using it this way, guys, but the characteristics of registrants. My view is that if someone puts in inaccurate data purely for the purposes of fraud, you know, no amount of contacting them is going to get them to change that data. That might be very different than someone who puts data in that's inaccurate because they are concerned about spam or some other privacy issue, and the use of an anonymous service will fulfill their interest, and they will then be willing to provide accurate data to the third party. But those are, we don't have, at one point, Becky might remember this, we had extremely rough estimates from VeriSign on the fact that well over 80% of the registrations in .com were believed to be organizational or institutional or corporate or commercial, with a very small percent, 3 to 5, being clearly individuals, and then some murky number in between.
Yeah, that's pretty old, at least my...
Very old.
But it's pretty old information.
It's very old, and that murky number in between probably included those names that they ended up purging because they weren't really registered names. So to my knowledge, I don't actually know of any good data on the .com, .org, .net. Rom is not with us. I keep asking, but he doesn't seem to be with us. Does anyone have any sense of whether that kind of data exists for any of the new GTLDs? I will tell you that a conversation I had with Denig, that Sabine mentioned when she was on the call with us, Germany's characteristics about the number of individuals who are registered will be very different from the characteristics of many other CCTLDs because of the practice in Germany to encourage the individual use of individual websites for family purposes and communication. So if you did a survey, a statistical survey or any other kind of survey of Denig, you would probably find a very high percent of individuals who've registered a domain name for a block party, communication with a school, for parents who have children in the same school, those kinds of things, according to Sabine's conversation with me. That might be very different than another country which actually doesn't allow individuals to register domain names. So I think, you know, we are missing some data that I don't expect us to be able to turn up, but the group might decide to make recommendations on the importance of having such data in order to guide further policy decisions. Comments? What do we need to do to wrap up today? I think Glenn posted. I wanted to ask Steve and Tony to comment on the implementation committee and to advise everyone that Ruchika has been added to that at the request of the non-commercial constituency. And there is a call on Thursday. And Steve, maybe you.
Yeah, I was asked to ask chair of the implementation committee to schedule a call with our task force to discuss their report before it was a final report. He did not want to set up yet another conference call because I think Bruce is spending his life on conference calls, mostly at very weird hours since he's in Australia. So he said, why don't we just have the interested task force members sit in on the next implementation committee call. So that's taking place. I think you've been sent the call-in details. I think we will have a draft from Bruce Tonkin of an implementation committee report about 24 hours prior to that time. So if you are interested in participating on this call, I'd encourage you to review that. I'll make sure that if it gets distributed to the implementation committee, I'll make sure it's sent to the task force as well. And I'd encourage you to look at that before this call. But Bruce is drafting that based on the discussion on the last call. And until we see what's in there, I think once you see what's in there, you'll see what the issues are that we may want to discuss with them.
Given the technicalities of the conference service, which is being used by the implementation committee, I'd suppose that it would be useful if those who want to dial into that call announce that beforehand, because I'm not sure how many ports that free system keeps open in advance.
I think that's a very good suggestion. So,
is this call on Thursday?
Yes.
Okay.
Thursday in the U.S.
Right, thank you.
Friday morning for first.
Thursday in Minnesota.
Buy it in Europe.
Can I take a rough count now of people who do want to be on? We already have Tony and Steve confirmed.
My name's Christy, and I'm on the list to be there Thursday.
And
so I'm showing up on my calendar anyway.
And Thomas?
I have confirmed already.
Okay, right.
I'm confirmed also.
And this is Ruchika?
That's right.
Right, okay. I'm going to try to be there. I guess we will have, Steve, you might want to, you might just want to tell, well, actually, Glenn is on. Glenn?
Yes, I'm on.
Yeah, can you verify whether there is automatic port expansion by just checking with the conference service, or if people respond, if that automatically means that they will have a port?
I'll do that, but normally the calls do make provision for that, but I'll check with Bruce because it is an option.
Okay.
Marilyn?
Yes.
This is Christy. I have a question for our task force. Who are our lawyers? I know Steve is a lawyer. Who else is a lawyer?
Well, I'm a lawyer, but I think that's different from saying we're your lawyers.
I think what Christy means is on the task force, who are the lawyers?
Exactly. I have legal representation. Thank you. I'm trying to figure out who has obtained their legal degrees.
I have obtained a legal degree.
I would like for someone who is a lawyer to work on Searchability's Appendix A. And the Appendix A are the relevant provisions, and those provisions are already written. But what we want to have happen to those provisions was the same thing that Bruce Tonkin did when he presented his reports. He went through and he bolded the text that was most affected by what we wanted to do.
Are we talking about the what's in the existing agreement?
Yeah, what's in the existing RAA. I thought it would be helpful, because it was helpful to me when Bruce did it, for in our searchability report where we have the relevant agreement provisions, to bold the most relevant text.
Would you send an email request to me and to Tony?
Mm-hmm.
I think that actually maybe what we would want to do is go back to the ICANN staff.
And have them do it?
And have them do it if we can get them to do it, because Steve and Becky can correct me on this, but my sense on this is we'd be better off if the quote-unquote subject matter experts did it.
Perfect, okay.
Christy, I think there is an old letter from Louis Tuton to the Who Is Committee of that time, something like early 2000, which gives something like a thorough explanation of the searchability provisions. I think that this issue report material I sent you in December contains a link to that.
Okay.
It's certainly on the ICANN website, and maybe that's actually the best source to incorporate or to link to.
Okay, I'm using that same list, I think, if that's what you're talking about.
I'm talking about
RAA provisions at the ICANN website.
I sent to you back then, and I think I actually quoted from the document. I can dig it out.
Okay, no, I know what you're talking about, Thomas, and it's like part two of the report or something.
And I will let Louis know that we believe we're going to have this requirement, because Louis is going to have to turn this document around very, very quickly in order to get it before the board. I did encounter something last night that I have not resolved yet, and that is I've been trying to find time to read the PDP process.
I
thought you wrote it.
Who's read it?
I have.
Marilyn, I think you were on the group which wrote it. Was it something like write-only process?
I was on the group, and they put things in there that I didn't agree with, in spite of the fact that I've whined on every meeting. I know this group is shocked to hear that. And one of the things they put in there were those...
You filed no minority report.
Listen, I intended to till I was told that the implementation committee didn't include minority reports.
Oh.
But the reason I mention it is I believe in the policy process that there is a requirement of a 20-day public comment period.
Right.
And I'm worried about that, because I've got to go look at that again. We've had public comment and public comment and public comment, but we're back to... we were asked to put things out. We opened a report to take further constituency reports. June had asked for that for the non-commercial constituency, but they had not. There hasn't been a forthcoming constituency report. None of the other constituencies have provided other report, other comments. So the report was open for that process for 20 days, but we're now going to take the results of the comment period that ended on the 9th, the Security and Stability Committee, Advisory Committee report, other comments we've received, if any, and try to incorporate them and republish. And we are scheduled to republish. I was planning on our publishing on February the 6th, because that's 14 days before the Names Council process. I'm not sure that's going to work.
Well, Marilyn, this is Christy. Could we put it out for comment a couple of days? Maybe 5 days before, so people have a chance to read it, and then have people commenting 5 days before and 15 days after instead? Or does the PDP not allow for that?
I think we're supposed to vote, leave the issues. By the way, the other good news, I think this will be good news, and I probably have not conveyed this, Tony. I think we did not mention this. The names, Bruce instructed us that our issues reports can be dealt with in March at Rio.
Oh.
Ah.
So, I vote for March.
So,
is that really good news?
That doesn't mean we don't have to finish them, okay? But it means we don't have to have them ready for voting on by February the 20th. Now, that means that our priority needs to be Ken, are you still on the call? Glenn?
Yes?
Can you go back and look at the name council minutes, please, and just re-verify that instruction from Bruce? Because I did ask him specifically, and my recollection and my notes show that he agreed that the issues reports would be dealt with by the names council in Rio, so that we would...
Definitely. Yes, that's fine, Marilyn. That is so.
Okay. So that means that our priority needs to be the final report. 20 days before the 20th is the 1st of February. We don't get I don't think that's doable, but I'm not going to say that. If we all turned all of our attention to prioritizing, finalizing that report, could we make the 1st of February, which is like a nanosecond away?
I think one question is whether the implementation committee input will be there by then. They are looking to finalize their input by the 30th of January.
I know.
Now, we could see what is circulated and what the discussion goes like on Thursday as to whether they...
Steve, this was dealt with on the call, because I raised the point that it would be very possible that the task force would reject some or all of the or adopt with no change the implementation report, and that's why we were pushing. I mean, I was pushing to have that conversation on the draft.
Right.
And Bruce acknowledged that we might run into a roadblock, but he was hoping not.
Well, technically, what are we going to do with that report? Just add it as another chapter to our final report as an appendix, or merge it in somehow into individual chapters? Actually, I think I will prefer the way of making it an appendix.
Well, I think it can be an appendix, but the question is, do we have to react to it, say?
Oh, okay.
For example, they're going to suggest some... suggest some language that would clarify or spell out how some things would be done. So,
yeah.
Are you, Steve? Do you think they're going to? Are they going to try to finalize language on marketing uses?
I don't know. There's been some language proposed on that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's very. I don't think the prospects are very good for doing that, but.
I would be of the opinion that some of what they are proposing, and I just set in for Tony on the last call, some of what they are proposing, I think, does have to go out for comment.
Well, it could be incorporated in our
yes.
In our report.
Yes, and that's my point.
People could comment. Yeah, I agree with that. I think anything they say could be subject. Send this out for comment, it would include commenting on their report.
But I think, Thomas, what we will have to do... Yes, we should include it as an appendix, but I think we have to go back and look at their recommendations against ours.
Yeah.
That's where the problem comes in, because let's assume that they meet their deadline, they have a final report on January 30th, then we have about 24 hours to do what you just said. Now, hopefully, by being involved in the discussion on the draft report, know, we'll have a pretty good sense of this by Thursday, whether that's doable.
But this basically means, so we're going to hear about it Thursday the 24th. We will have to have a redraft. We could have, right now we're scheduled to have our next call
on the 28th.
We have
thank
to
you
call
for that
with,
one, by the way.
We have
nice.
To call with the implementation committee on the 23rd.
Right.
For all Europeans and Americans. For Australians, it's the 24th.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the 28th, so we have another call then.
Glenn, I seem to have put this on my calendar wrong. On the 28th, which is Monday.
No, that's Tuesday.
No, that's Tuesday. The Who Is Task Force?
I can't believe this. I'm looking at January the 28th on my calendar.
And it looks like a Monday?
Yeah.
That's last year's calendar, dear.
Oh. Sorry. Glenn,
welcome,
can that be erased from the industry? Okay.
No problem. It won't be minuted.
All right, the 28th. You're right. All right. So at 11. So if we did, I guess my question is going to be, could we have a second call on the 31st? It's the only way that we could feasibly... God, if we don't, you know, we're not even going to make 20 days. We don't post it on the 31st, and I don't think that's feasible. I think I need to ask. Bruce. I need to look at the PDP process again, and ask Bruce. Because I know when he and I talked about it, we neither one of us incorporated that into our thinking. We both talked about posting it between the 5th and the 6th, thinking, and we were both working from the agenda calendar, Glenn.
Yes, from the council meeting agenda.
Right. Well, remember that we have to have things on the agenda 14 days.
Yes, that's right. Yes, they must be 14 days before the meeting on the agenda.
Yeah. Why don't we do this? Can people tentatively do another call on Thursday the 31st if necessary to
Friday the 31st.
Friday the 31st.
Well,
that would be
what time?
11?
Yeah.
Extremely bad. Wait. It's still feasible. Sorry. Confused.
11, that's the same time as now?
Mm-hmm.
I could do that if it's an hour.
Yep.
5 for us, Glenn.
Yeah, that's right, Thomas. Thanks.
I have no problem with that.
Okay. How about the 30th?
No, I can't do that at all.
Okay. So it's the 28th and the...
31st.
And I will go back to him and find out whether he thinks we have any leeway in the 20 days. Because the PDP does not provide the level of detail to deal with the number of public comment periods we've already had.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the argument, I think, that
right.
You can relax it in this case because of all the other comment periods.
Right, and yeah, I'm going to try that because it would be, if we could stick with planning to post it on the 6th, that would be much better for all of us. Wait a minute, I have to look at a real calendar. The 6th would be a Thursday in February. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. We should probably make it the 5th, because otherwise the 20th is actually the 14th. Okay, let me go back to him. And would all of you take a look at your work, thinking about the fact that we have a different calendar for you, for your issues reports, and if you will give me and Tony an email on, I think what we would do after we get this out the door, then we would begin trying to focus on the issues reports and try to get them posted by the, if we post them the week after, trying to think if that works. If we post them, we need 20 days. The meeting is the 23rd. We will need to post the week after. We'll need to post the week of the 10th.
Which meeting are you talking about, Marilyn, the 23rd?
The Rio meeting.
Oh, the Rio, yes, sorry.
So it's the week of the 10th of March, right?
We will need to post for 20 days. I think we would need to post that week so that we would be able to have a first... Let me ask him what he's expecting in terms of comments on the issues report. Because he may not be expecting...
I don't think we need comments on the issues report, because these will be open for comment once they go to the, into the policy development process.
Right.
Actually, I would feel comfortable getting comments from with regards to the privacy issues in case people have anything to add. So I could work potentially on a different schedule.
Okay. Okay. Let me go back to him by email with an individual email to all of you. Tony and I will work on it and send it out and lay out to him what we propose our calendar to be. Can I ask for a who's going to be in Rio at this point, Richika?
I can follow up on that. Do you need me to be there?
I think that as many people as possible should try to be in Rio, particularly if we're able to still do this mini workshop that we need to come back and talk about after I hear back from Stuart and Papa Pablo.
Okay.
Glenn, you're going to be there.
Yes.
You know if Lawrence will be there, Steve?
I don't know yet.
Okay. I don't know about Troy. Becky?
Well, you know, at this point I always say no. Somehow I always end up going to these things.
Brett's not on the phone. I would expect him to be there. I don't know about Philip. Tony?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Okay.
I'll swim there if I have to.
Paddle boat.
It's not that far from here.
Kayak. I'd kayak from where you are.
Christy?
I don't know that I will make it.
Okay. Steve?
Don't know yet.
Okay. We don't know about Rom. Ken? I think we've lost him, but he is usually there, and
Ken will be there.
Okay.
And I may try to see if I can get Ken to be our presenter if we need one, because I've got him agreed to do some editing for the searchability group.
Uh-huh.
So if he's a good speaker, he may get...
Okay.
...have the opportunity.
Okay, but remember, we actually will only be presenting these, I think, in the Names Council.
Good.
I'm assuming.
Well, that's good, because last time I don't think my speaker showed up.
Right.
So I don't want that to happen again.
Okay. Guys, I am going to... anyone else? Tony, Steve, anyone else?
Anyone else what?
Want to say anything?
I think we've covered it pretty well.
There is going to be a FTC global, a U.S. FTC, Federal Trade Commission, workshop on global fraud on the 19th and 20th of February.
Whereabouts?
In the U.S. It's the FTC. It is really a broad issue on a broad workshop on global fraud. So they'll have credit card companies and banks, et cetera. There are two workshops that may be of interest. One of them will have registries and registrars and a few other people on it. And the second one will be internet and e-commerce companies who are invited to make a presentation about the kinds of problems they are encountering in global fraud. Some of us will be attending. I just mentioned it because it will be, I think, of general interest to this group. The FTC has in the past felt that accuracy of the WHOIS data has been a problem in investigation. So we're not talking about the normal Joe or Jane, but situations where there are actual crimes being perpetrated, and one of the resources that's used is WHOIS, as well as a lot of other databases. I don't know a whole lot more about this right now, but I just wanted to mention it to people. And it seems to be largely in response to an OECD call to member states to support improvements in trust and confidence in the global medium. And for anyone who would like to see a copy of the OECD document, I'm happy to forward it to them if you'll just send me an email. That ends my list.
Okay, so just
you have 8 more minutes. You don't have to feel compelled to use them.
So we are back next. We're actually together on Thursday, and then I will try to work out with the chair what his just confirming feels that we don't have to comply with 20 days because of all the previous postings we've done, and we will see where we are after Thursday's call, I think, online, if that's what's okay with everyone.
Mm-hmm. Sounds fine.
So
thank you.
Just to be sure that I got the timeline right, the rest of January is devoted to the final report, and February is devoted to the issue report, right?
Right.
Okay. Fine.
Can we use the same number next on the 31st, Marilyn?
Remember I sent that to you? It's the
yes. No, but is it all right if we use it, because it will be an extra call that's not on the list?
Oh, I will add it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. Which one? Thursday?
No, the 31st for the task force.
Okay.
Because if we can use the same number, it's easy. Everybody's got it.
Yep. Let me add it right now. I'll call the office.
Okay. And I'll add it. I'll add the meeting to the meeting schedule plan that I've made.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.